ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா. டுடே வி ஷால் கண்டினியூ டு டிஸ்கஸ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத்ஸ் ஃபேத் இன் த ஹோலி நேம். இன் அவர் லாஸ்ட் டாக் வி டிஸ்கஸ்ட் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத்ஸ் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் that if you just do Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. And we discussed different incidents from America and India that demonstrated the truth of Srila Prabhupada's statement. If you just chant the holy names of the Lord, all of your problems will be solved, materially and spiritually. So, today we will discuss a very interesting incident that took place in 1971. The initial event took place in 1971, but the effects of it continued for years. And one could say they are even continuing today. In 1971, I was in Madras, arranging a program for Srila Prabhupada. And after the program, I remained in Madras to continue to make life members, collect funds, and distribute books. In Madras, I began to hear a song broadcast on the radio. Those of you who have read Srila Prabhupada's books, at least in English, will know that he sometimes uses the phrase cinema songs. In India, there was no real tradition of popular music like in the West, but they developed a culture of cinema song, music, songs that were part of the fabric of the movies. And people would play their radios. There was no television in India then. They would play their radios very loud. Once I was in Srila Prabhupada's room with him in Juhu, and someone was playing the radio very loud. The music was coming into Srila Prabhupada's room very strongly. And Srila Prabhupada remarked, rather sarcastically, that they want to advertise that they have a radio. So they play the music very loud so people will know, I have a radio. Because in those days, not everyone could afford a radio. So to have a radio was some sort of achievement. So in that atmosphere, in that culture in Madras, I kept hearing a song. And part of the refrain of the song was Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And I kept hearing it and hearing it everywhere. So finally one day I asked my host, I was staying with different people in Madras, so I asked my host, what is this song? Dhammaradam. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. He replied, the meaning is, with every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So I thought that sounded very nice. how wonderful with every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So we continued in Madras for some time, and then from Madras we went to Calcutta. And in Calcutta the same song was blaring everywhere. So I asked, what is this song? What is this movie? And then I found out that the translation that my host gave me in Madras was a little liberal or generous, that the actual translation was, with every puff that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And it turned out that the film depicted hippies who were smoking ganja or hashish and chanting Hare Krishna. And the film was creating a lot of impact on people. Well, it turns out that the film was playing in only one theater in Calcutta, in a very prestigious location. So I thought, this is a great opportunity for us to do Harinam Sankirtan and distribute books. We'll go to the theater and chant Hare Krishna and distribute books to the people who are going in and coming out, like we used to do outside the theaters where the musical Hair was being performed. So we did it, and there are many nicely dressed men and women going in and coming out, and they were buying books. So when the last show was about to begin, no more people were coming out and everyone had gone in, I thought, let me sneak in and have a look. And at that stage, I'd never been in a movie theater for a couple of years since I joined. So I went in the theater, and I was extremely impressed by what I saw on the screen. It's a huge image, and the voice of the narrator was booming over the sound system. There was an image of waves flowing in from the ocean. And the narrator said, for centuries, the spiritual culture of India remained within the shores of India. And then one man took the spiritual culture of India beyond the ocean. And there is a huge photo of Srila Prabhupada on the screen. And then there was a map with an arrow showing how Srila Prabhupada had gone from India across the ocean to America. Then there was live footage of the London Rath Yatra, this huge chariot on this huge screen with thousands of people lining the streets of London and devotees chanting and dancing, and Srila Prabhupada too. And I thought, I've never seen anything so beautiful on the screen. And then the scene switched back to India. And there were these young hippie boys and girls, young men and young women, dancing in a very sensual way to like rock and roll music, and smoking charas, ganja, and that song came on the screen. Dam-mara-dam. I don't know the, maybe someone knows the words better, but I remember Dam-mara-dam. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And that was the theme of the movie, that these hippies were enjoying together, boys and girls, and taking intoxicants, taking drugs, and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And the movie was conveying the message that the foreigners who have come to India to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, indulge in illicit relations between men and women, and take intoxicants, and are not at all devotees. So when we actually found out what was going on in the movie, I mean, at that stage, I just walked out. I didn't want to see anymore. But we were a little confused. What is this? Srila Prabhupada said that actually the government was behind the movie, because they didn't want the movement to grow in India. They thought that the spiritual culture of India was keeping the people down, that what the people really needed was economic development. Of course, it's really the political leaders who wanted to keep the people down. But because the Indian people, by nature and by culture, are so pious and religious, they had to couch their propaganda in religious language. They wanted to shift the people's dedication to God and spiritual pursuits to material activities. So they coined the slogan, work is worship. In other words, worshiping in the temple is not worship. Working in the factories, and the government was working in conjunction with certain popular so-called religious figures in India. One was Swami Vivekananda. So he made many statements like, work is worship. One of his statements, horrible statements, was, you should pull out all the tulsi plants and plant eggplants instead. So when Srila Prabhupada said the government was behind the making of the film, there's some background to it. The government did not want the people to become Krishna conscious or become more Krishna conscious. So they have made the movie to discourage people from becoming Krishna conscious. But, Srila Prabhupada said, in the long run, the film will help us. Because eventually, people will forget the Dhammaradham, and all they will remember is Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So after my spending some time in Calcutta, I went to Bombay to take charge of the Life Membership Program and to develop the Juhu Project for Srila Prabhupada. And in Bombay, the same song was blaring everywhere. And I would go out almost every day to meet people, to distribute books, to enroll them as life members. And in Bombay, there are many street urchins or children who beg on the street. And whenever I would go out and they would see me, they would all come up and go like this, like they're smoking, and go, Dhammaradham, Dhammaradham. It was probably the highlight of their day. Maybe it was the highlight of their life. But one of them would see us and he'd call all the others, see, there's Hare Krishnas, there's Hare Krishnas. They'd all come running and they'd surround us. And dam-mada-dam, dam-mada-dam. It was quite disturbing. And it went on for quite some time. But after about a year, I saw there was a shift. At first, all we heard was dam-mada-dam. But after 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, it was about half and half, the dam-mada-dam and the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And eventually, the dam-mada-dam completely disappeared. And children would see us and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And then I thought of Srila Prabhupada's words. They had come true. In the long run, the movie will actually help us. Because people will forget the dam-mada-dam and all they will remember is Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Because he knew that the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram was transcendental sound vibrations. It's always fresh and alive. Whereas the dam-mada-dam was mundane sound vibration. And any mundane sound becomes boring after a while. You become disgusted. You don't want to hear it anymore. Even if you liked it at first, but if you hear it too much, you get sick of it and you don't want to hear it anymore. So that was Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Now, around the same time, in 1972, when I was the temple president in Juhu, some devotees had produced a page, well, they actually had two, one, pages of stamps, like postage-sized stamps with a picture of Radha and Krishna, done by one of our devotee artists, and at the bottom it said Hare Krishna. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada about the stamps. I just wasn't sure what the idea was. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, yes, these two words, Hare Krishna, should be seen everywhere. And later I found out that there's a whole tradition in which devotees, they worship the visual image of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be seen and worshipped as Krishna, as a deity. So we got the Juhu land and Srila Prabhupada came and did a pandal program right on the grounds of the land. And when it was time for him to leave, he was given a VIP room at the Santa Cruz airport in Bombay. And it was only him and his disciples. So the devotees had an ecstatic kirtan in the VIP room, jumping up and down, singing and dancing. And at the end of the kirtan, Srila Prabhupada remarked that if you go on having kirtans like this, your project will be a success. He had that faith. And then, as it was, there were many complications with the purchase of the land. It turned out that the owner of the land who came forward to sell it to Srila Prabhupada was actually trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. He took money for the land as a down payment, and then he tried to cancel the sale on some technical grounds and keep the money and keep the land. So there was a great struggle, but in the end Srila Prabhupada was successful. So one evening at about 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace, on the roof of one of the buildings, and he was being fanned by a disciple, a Bengali devotee named Haridas, who's still there in Bombay. And about 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada looked at his wristwatch, and he said to Haridas, do you hear the sound of kirtan coming from the temple? Haridas said, no, I don't hear. And Srila Prabhupada said, you don't hear the sound of kirtan coming from the temple? Again, Haridas strained to hear. No. Srila Prabhupada said, that is exactly the point. There is no kirtan in the temple. Where are all the devotees? Where is the kirtan? Haridas replied, well, they probably went to the city to collect funds, and they have not come back yet. Srila Prabhupada said, oh, that was not my idea, that the devotees should go out day and night to collect funds. They can go at 9 in the morning and come back at 5 in the evening, but they must chant and dance in front of the deities during the evening arti. He said if they just work day and night to get money, they'll become like the karmis. Then Srila Prabhupada asked Haridas, do you know why we were successful in the struggle for Hare Krishna land and the owner, Mr. Nair, was not? Mr. Nair was a very wealthy man and we had no real income. Mr. Nair had been the sheriff of Bombay and he knew many influential people and we hardly knew any important people in high places. And Mr. Nair owned one of 3 English daily newspapers in Bombay, and he could influence people through his newspaper. We had no way to influence people, but we were successful, and he was not. What is the reason? Well, Haridas could not answer. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you explain why. And Srila Prabhupada said, the reason we were successful is because we were working for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. And Mr. Nair was not. He was working for his own selfish interest, for sense gratification. And because we were working to please Krishna, and Krishna was pleased with our efforts, by his mercy, we were successful. We are not successful by our own strength and resources, but we are successful by Krishna's grace.
No.
So we should always work in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. And when he's pleased, he will bestow his mercy upon us and we will be successful. So morning and evening, the devotees should gather in the temple and chant for the pleasure of the deities, dance for the pleasure of the deities, and when the deities are pleased, they will bestow their blessings upon us, and we will. And in a way, Srila Prabhupada was reiterating the same instruction he gave in the VIP lounge at the Bombay airport, that if you go on having kirtan like this, your project will be successful. The last incident I wish to relate took place in 1977, Srila Prabhupada's last year with us in his physical form. Srila Prabhupada had a very staunch devotee named Mr. P. L. Sethi, Kishori Lal Sethi. Mr. Sethi was, you know, very strong Punjabi man. And he first heard about Srila Prabhupada by reading some notice in the newspaper that he had come with sadhus from America. So he went to meet Srila Prabhupada in downtown Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, "What is your schedule in the morning? What is your daily routine?" Mr. Sethi replied, "Well, I get up, I go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth, I have a cup of tea and some toast, I read the newspaper, and I go to work." And Srila Prabhupada responded, "And what is the difference between you and a pig?" So Mr. Sethi, you know, he's a strong man, he took it and he thought about the question and he said, "You know, Prabhupada, you're right. So what should I do?" Then Srila Prabhupada said, "Every Sunday morning, you should invite the devotees early in the morning to the suburb where you live, Goregaon, and do Harinam Sankirtan in the neighborhood. And after doing Harinam Sankirtan, you feed them a big feast." So Mr. Sethi took up Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and it was a regular program every Sunday morning. So years passed, Mr. Sethi built a house very near the Juhu temple, which he named Vrindavan, and he just continued to serve Srila Prabhupada throughout his life. Now, from before Mr. Sethi met Srila Prabhupada, he was associated with a Sankirtan group that had a guru in Vrindavan. And the group had a beautiful name, Radha Madhav Premi Shuddha Nam Sankirtan Mandali. Radha Madhav, you know, Jai Radha Madhav. And Premi means praying, pure love. Shuddha means nectar. And Nam Sankirtan, you know. And Mandali means association. The group were almost all householders in Bombay, and they would meet every week or every month, maybe every week, and they would do 12 hours akhand Nam Sankirtan, 12 hours continuous Nam Sankirtan on Sunday. They would begin at 6 in the morning and continue until 6 in the evening. And then from 6 to 8, they would sing songs about Radha and Krishna from Vraj. And they would meet in different householders' homes by rotation. So Mr. Sethi approached me as the temple president, and also we were quite good friends, that why don't we have it in the temple? So we arranged it in the original small temple, sort of temporary temple, that we had constructed for Radharasa Bihari in Juhu. And just next to that small temple was the tower of the new Juhu guest house, and on the top floor was Srila Prabhupada's quarters. And Tamal Krishna Goswami was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary. He was there with Prabhupada. And Mr. Sethi would go up and spend time with Srila Prabhupada and come down and spend time with the kirtan. So these householder devotees in the kirtan, they just were so eager to please Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada was too ill to come down, and there were too many of them to go up. Prabhupada was on the fifth floor, and the building wasn't really finished, and the lift was not working. So they couldn't go up, and Prabhupada couldn't come down. So the group came out of the temple, most of the group came out of the temple, and they were chanting Hare Krishna on the grounds underneath the balcony to Prabhupada's room. But although Prabhupada's health was very frail, Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know, helped him to come out to the balcony, and he looked down at the devotees, glanced upon them, and they just went wild in ecstasy. Just chanting the holy names and dancing. But eventually it was a little hard for Srila Prabhupada to keep standing on the balcony, and Tamal Krishna Goswami took him back inside. And the devotees went back into the temple and continued the kirtan. And generally, the highlight or the culmination of the whole program came towards the end of the singing of songs. When one lady would sing a Vraj song, and I don't know whether it was her spiritual potency or the beauty of her voice, but after 12, 13 hours of continuous chanting, when she would sing her song, devotees would cry. And many of you may have heard the song. It's quite famous. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Well, we could easily go on for a half hour just singing that song. But I will conclude this narration. The proper kirtan will begin. But after the program, Mr. Sethi told us that when that lady was singing that song, Srila Prabhupada had tears running down from his eyes, down his cheeks. The next day, Srila Prabhupada called me to his quarters and said, "The kirtan was wonderful. I want you to invite the whole Radha Madhav Sankirtan Mandali to stay at Hare Krishna Land. We will give them all accommodations and prasad. They don't have to do any work. All they have to do is chant Hare Krishna for 12 hours every day, and I will maintain them. I will maintain them." So very quickly, I was calculating in my mind that these devotees are almost all of them married. Many of them have children. They have to take care of their children and send them to school. They have their businesses or their occupations. I just didn't know how they would respond if I invited them. I didn't even consider how we would accommodate them or maintain them. I just didn't even know how they would agree. But I heard what Srila Prabhupada said. I just didn't know how to respond. So I was silent. So then Srila Prabhupada said, well, all right, then our own devotees, our own men, they should do 12-hour Akhanda Kirtan every day from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. I said to Srila Prabhupada, but we're just in the midst of trying to get the temple ready to open. If all the devotees are engaged from 6 in the morning to 6 in the night, how will we open the temple? How will we do any practical service? Then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, then one day a week on Sunday, all the devotees do Sankirtan from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And by then I was so relieved, I said, yes, we can do that. So it was settled. Afterwards, I related the discussion to Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was my GBC. Well, not really. He was Srila Prabhupada's secretary, but he had been my GBC, and we were very good friends. And he said that Srila Prabhupada had engaged in transcendental bargaining with you. If he had begun by saying 12 hours every Sunday, you might have thought 12 hours is a lot. Maybe we can do 4 hours. But because he began, first of all, we invite the whole group and maintain them on Hare Krishna land. And then he came, okay, then our men do it every day for 12 hours. Then finally when he said, our own men do it only one day for 12 hours, it was nothing. Oh, we can do that. And the period when we were doing those 12 hours, Akhandanand Sankirtan was some of the best in the history of ISKCON Bombay, and some of the best in my own spiritual life. And usually by the time we had chanted for 12 hours from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, we didn't even want to stop. We just kept going until 9 o'clock when the deities took rest. Now, I was the temple president in Juhu. Juhu was a big project. And there were always so many problems. There were problems with the construction, problems with the finance, problems with the government, problems between devotees, and devotees also had individual problems. And they all came to me. Well, I would deal with them as best as I could on Monday and Tuesday and maybe some of Wednesday. But by Thursday, I knew it's only a few days until the 12-hour kirtan. And I had experienced that somehow, after the 12-hour kirtan, all the problems were solved. Either the problem would solve itself, or during the kirtan I would get some inspiration how to deal with the problem, or the devotees who thought there was a problem realized there actually was not a problem. But somehow, after that kirtan, all the problems were solved. And again, I thought of Srila Prabhupada's statement that if you just do Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved, materially and spiritually. Srila Prabhupada had that faith, and by our faith in him and our endeavor to follow his instructions, we realized the truth of his statements. And in particular, this one statement, if you just do Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved. There are many more incidents from Prabhupada's time and even later, that I could discuss, and I'm sure many of you have your own realizations and experiences that you could also contribute. But now we will welcome our festival Nam Sankirtan party, which is everyone here, and begin our own kirtan. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Ki.